on this episode of Rev Hang.
Roger Penske. John Penske.
John Penske.
CEO of Penske. CEO of Racing.
The other Penske.
Don't buy a turbocharged Mazda or Ford product from the years
2010 to 2020.
However, do buy Ben's Craigslist pick of the week. My espresso maker died.
Yeah.
It was insane.
That's what caused the main problem.
That's the delay.
Yeah. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rev Hang. It has been about a month since our last one. We said we were going to do a mid-season review, but that didn't happen.
I went to New Jersey.
He went to New Jersey. I went to Las Vegas. Things got crazy for a while there. So
my espresso maker died.
Yeah.
It was insane.
That's what caused the main problem.
That's the delay.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, but we are back. We've got lots of races to catch up on. We did make most of our predictions in time, with the exception of qualifying for Milwaukee. But with all that being said, let's dive right in. We're going to talk about the end of the IndyCar season, the last three races that we did miss. So, first off, Grand Prix of Portland. We'll go through these real quick. Top 10 in qualifying were O'Ward. Actually, it was Lundgaard on pole position, but O'Ward started first because Lundgaard had a penalty for changing his engine. So, first was O'Ward, followed by Rosenqvist, Power, Malukas, and Palou. 6 through 10 were Rossi, Lundgaard, Armstrong, Dixon, and Ericsson. Moving into the race, O'Ward led the early stages of it. There was a huge incident between Rasmussen and Daly early on. Power cycled to the front on pit strategy. O'Ward's car had electrical issues, causing him to go several laps down. Absolute pain for all the McLaren fans.
Yeah.
But Will Power was able to maintain the lead for the rest of the race, keeping the fighting Palou and Lundgaard behind to finish off the podium. So, results of the race. First 10 were Power, Lundgaard, Palou, Rahal, Rossi, Ilott, McLaughlin, Armstrong, Rosenqvist, and Herta. 11 through 15 were Dixon, Rasmussen, Foster, Stingray Rob, and Robert Schwartzman. 16 through 20 were Siegel, VK, Dave Francesco, Malukas, and Kirkwood. And then 21 through 27 were Simpson, Ericsson, Abel, Newgarden, O'Ward, Daly, and Ferrucci. Moving into Milwaukee, qualifying top 10, we had Palou, Malukas, O'Ward, McLaughlin, and Dixon, Power, Kirkwood, Newgarden, Daly, and Rasmussen. The race, Palou and Malukas battled for the lead during the first half of the race. Newgarden challenged for the lead, but a bad pit stop and strategy, as always, cost him time and dropped him back because Newgarden's not allowed to do well this year.
Truly the Herta of IndyCar.
Anti-foreshadowing. drops of rain caused a caution and burst the strategy battle wide open, which gave Rasmussen the golden opportunity, which he capitalized on, passed half the field to get to the front by the end of the race with some absolute nuts
insane
passes.
It was so good.
His car was so loose, and he was like, I don't even care. He was going to win a crash. That was about it.
Yeah.
So the results of that race, Christian Rasmussen won his first ever IndyCar race, followed by Palou and McLaughlin on the podium. Fourth and fifth were Rossi and O'Ward. 6 through 10 were Lundgaard, Newgarden, Malukas, Dixon, and Armstrong. 11 through 15 were Herta, Kirkwood, Daly, Ferrucci, and VK. 16 through 20 were Dave Francesco, Foster, Schwartzman, Ericsson, and Simpson. 21 through 27 were Abel, Rosenqvist, Rob, Rahal, Ilott, Power, and Siegel. Will Power with another horrible, horrible race.
Well, he can only do so well. Each of the Penske drivers can only get one win a season.
Yeah, exactly.
He won Portland, and that's it for the rest of the year.
Yeah. McLaughlin's punching air right now with his zero wins.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about McLaughlin.
Yep. Everyone did.
And yet Will Power's the one rumored to be replaced.
Yeah, exactly. Nashville, final race of the IndyCar season. Actually, an oval this year. I, for some reason, thought it was going to be the street track, but that was not the case.
And all the better for it.
Yep. Qualifying top 10, we had O'Ward on pole, followed by Malukas, Lundgaard, Palou, and Dixon, Newgarden, McLaughlin, Simpson, Rosenqvist, and Power. Moving into the race, O'Ward led the first half of the race. The Penske boys battled to the front of the field behind O'Ward. Pato had a puncture and hit the wall on lap 127, ending his race. McLaughlin, Pelot, and Newgarden battled for the lead for the rest of the race, but Newgarden was actually able to come out on top and win his first and only race of the season, even though he probably should have won at least three before this if things...
Finally.
Yeah. So, results of the race. Newgarden won, followed by Pelot and McLaughlin. Fourth and fifth were Simpson and Daly. Sixth through 10 were Kirkwood, Rosenqvist, Ferrucci, Ilott, and Rossi. 11 through 15, we had Herta, Dixon, VK, Schwartzman, and Erickson. 16 through 20, we had Rob, Siegel, DeFrancesco, Armstrong, and Foster. 21 through 27 were Power, Rahal, Abel, O'Ward, Lundgaard, Malukas, and Rasmussen. Will Power on the struggle bus this
year. Crazy, yeah.
Would not be surprised if he was, in fact, replaced by David Malukas. Next season, which is the big rumor.
Man, Malukas said did he actually finish the end of the race?
No.
In Nashville? No, I thought he had a puncture or something.
Yeah, no, he hit the wall.
Oh, yeah, there he is. Yep.
I think there's better options for Penske than Malukas, but, you know.
Who would you have?
Who would I have?
Yep. If you were Roger Penske... John Penske. CEO of Penske. CEO of racing.
The other Penske. Actually, no, Malukas is probably a pretty good pick. I'm, like, looking at all the other names, and I'm like, no, they're all set at top teams already. Marcus Armstrong had a good year.
But not great.
Not great. Man, I feel like Kirkwood would jump ship in Andretti if he had the opportunity.
I guess, but he came in fourth this year behind two Ganassi cars and Pato O'Ward.
This is true.
So, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe if they didn't want to, if Andretti didn't want to play ball with him on contract stuff or anything like that, because he's not the highest paid driver at Andretti by a long shot right now.
Yeah. Rosenqvist had a shockingly good year, even though we never really heard his name much.
Yeah, kind of. Snuck through.
Yeah, tied for sixth with Colton Herta. Yeah, Malukas makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe bring Alexander Rossi back from the dead.
No.
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 We're not going there. Santino Ferrucci is another one. That would be tempting. He had a really good first half of the season.
Okay. I'll let that one slide.
Just saying. Okay. Stingray Rob.
That's the same category. You're memeing.
I am.
You're
memeing at this point.
Rage
yeah.
baiting. That's
Bring
Ben's word of the week.
Kyle Larson full time.
My God. He'll double race every single weekend for NASCAR and IndyCar.
He can prove that he can beat Verstappen
to be the worst driver in the history of both sports.
I mean, he's like leading the NASCAR championship right now, I think.
Is he really?
I think so, yeah. The okay. Cup Series.
I don't watch NASCAR, sorry.
I don't either, but anyway. All right, let's go into, I guess we can go through the standings since it's the end of the season.
Yeah, just really quick.
First place, Alex Pelot, obviously, 711 points.
Almost
second 200 place,
points ahead.
Second place, Pato O'Ward at 515. Third was Scott Dixon at 452, out of nowhere. Kyle Kirkwood, fourth at 433. Fifth was Christian Lundgaard at 431. Sixth was Colton Herta at 372. Seventh was Felix Rosenqvist, also at 372. Marcus Armstrong had 364. Will Power had 357. Scott McLaughlin had 356. David Malukas, 318. Joseph Newgarden, 316. Christian Rasmussen, 313. Rinus VK, 305. Alex Rossi, 297. 16 through 20, we had Ferrucci at 293. Simpson at 282. Daly at 268. Rahal at 260. And Erickson at 234. Boy, Marcus Erickson is...
Wow, he really fell off.
Yeah.
He was everything a couple years ago.
He had a really bad year. Yeah.
Yeah. Ganassi curse. Or Andretti curse.
Yeah, Andretti curse for sure. He was the worst Andretti this year, I think. Looks like it. And it looks like it wasn't even close. Because he was... Who else? Next up, the order was Colton Herta at sixth place. And he came in 20th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there were only three. There were Kirkwood, Herta, and... Erickson, right? I think
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Callum Ilott in 21st at 218. Nolan Siegel at 213. Louis Foster at 213. Robert Schwartzman at 211. Stingray Rob 25th at 181. Then we had DeFrancesco at 171, Abel at 123. And then we get out of the full-timers. We got the oval-onlys, Takuma Sato at 36, Castroneves at 20, Carpenter at 16, Harvey at 12, Hunter Ray at 10, Kyle Larson at 6, and Marco Andretti in 34th place at 5 points.
It's weird seeing Hilo Castroneves' Indy only.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the IndyCar season as a whole. What do we think, Ben? There were quite a bunch of new things this year, yeah.
Yeah, although I'm sure not as many new things as fans would have liked.
Yeah, I'd like less ads, please.
Hashtag where's the new chassis Dallara?
It's coming.
It's coming in 2028 now, surely.
It's coming, maybe. We're going to get the new Dallara chassis before GTA 6, probably still, though.
Yeah.
I heard GTA 7 was just announced the other day, so we're going to get GTA 7 before GTA 6.
Perfect. Yeah, so, like, I guess first off, the least consequential, although the most front-facing change, was new commentators.
Yes.
New commentator.
Yeah.
We lost Lee Diffy and swapped for Will Buxton.
I'm not complaining. I think Will Buxton was great.
Yeah. Not a whole lot of fans for Lee Diffy. I kind of liked him, but he could talk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They did replace him with somebody else who does talk a lot. But it's kind of fun to just hear, like, not necessarily an outside perspective, but somebody who's come from a different sport and is super excited about it. Like, bro clearly loves IndyCar.
Yeah, he's very excited, and he's learning a lot really quickly. And, you know, so I think Will Buxton was a fantastic pick for that job.
Mm-hmm. Him and Hinch are, also like, a great combo.
Love that Hinch is, like, kind of the head guy now.
Mm-hmm.
Former driver, obviously, so he knows his stuff as well, and I think he's just a great commentator in general. He's done some F1 races for the F1 TV group for the American races, and he's done a great job. So I am pretty happy with the commentators. I know that was a big concern going into this year, but I think they did a great job.
Yeah, I think it's a wholehearted upgrade, a wholehearted good thing that Fox did for this year.
Bad things about Fox? I don't know. I mean, I feel like the ads are just as bad as they were with NBC. I don't feel like it's increased or decreased at all. I will say I do think we're getting more ads while the race is actually in a mini player on the screen than we did with NBC, so honestly I think that's an upgrade.
Yeah, I haven't watched a whole lot of the Fox coverage. Hashtag VPN from Albania.
Okay.
Rise up.
All right, Ben.
But I have noticed the marketing is much better for it. They're being a lot more active with the marketing. And
I think it's gotten, like, IndyCar has grown a lot this year in terms of viewership, which is crazy because of how dominant Pillow was.
Yeah, I mean, we got some great ads at the start of the season. We got some coverage during Super Bowl, which we've never had before. Because,
yeah, that was pretty good.
You know, Fox on Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, they're bringing their experience from NASCAR advertising clearly to IndyCar, which is very nice.
Yeah, they're kind of, combining them, too. They're combining, like, they'll do two ads at once for NASCAR and IndyCar, and they're, like, having events at the same places. Like, St. Pete is going to be a NASCAR road race and IndyCar the same weekend. So, I was worried about the new Fox ownership, but I think they're actually doing better than NBC did.
Well. And their presence on YouTube with, like, uploading races out. They're way uploading better. Full races to YouTube for free the day after.
Yep. NBC never did that.
We never got that.
No, we got...
So, if you're okay waiting 24 hours, you can just watch it for free on YouTube.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Which is a huge improvement.
For sure. First full season with the hybrids and the heavier cars as a result of those hybrid units.
Meh.
Not much of a difference, honestly.
Yeah.
I think since everybody has it, it's just kind of there.
It's like extra push to pass, essentially, is what it feels like. Regenerates.
Yeah, I feel like it's just added more car management to it without actually changing how the race goes at all.
Yeah, I do like the ability to restart the cars. I feel like that also differentiates it more from F1.
That is nice.
Where, like, if your car stalls out, you're done. But here, you have a chance within, you know, that 60-second window to get your car restarted.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily need the crew to come out and spin your engine back up again.
Yeah, which for a series that's historically pretty heavy in cautions and safety flags... it's kind of nice to be able to alleviate some of that with the ability to restart your car. So overall, it's fine. It hasn't really made a huge difference for the racing necessarily. And I think a lot of drivers could still take it or leave it. I'm hoping that with the new chassis, maybe they can improve the implementation.
I think they will. Especially since they delayed it, they probably did it for reasons similar to that, just trying to get it right. I do really think that IndyCar is trying to expand now more than they have actively tried to expand previous years. Like, maybe they've tried to make the sport better for IndyCar fans, but now I feel like they're trying to make the sport more engaging and attractive overall, because I think they're trying to piggyback off the new surge of F1 fans.
Yeah.
Because now more people are interested in racing, and you got the wave of people from Drive to Survive that watched F1, and they're trying to get in, I think, because I think a lot of those people watched F1 and they thought it was cool. But now they're starting to see the problems with the sport.
They're maybe
not diehards like we are, who can see past the problems. And I honestly think that IndyCar is a better racing series.
I do too. And they're talking about, you know, maybe a race in Mexico. I know that's, along with the chassis, that's something that we've been talking about for a while.
Yep, they're talking about Zandvoort next year too.
Really?
Or not next year, I think it'd be the year after.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, they're going to Zandvoort. So, maybe we won't see Zandvoort die after all, even though this is its final year in F1.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Overall schedule, race venues, I do miss the Nashville Street Circuit. That was kind of a bummer when I saw that it wasn't on the calendar this year.
But we did get some pretty good racing at the Nashville Oval. I mean, watching Kiffin Simpson and Scott McLaughlin essentially drive side-by-side for 7 laps towards the end of the race was cinema.
I kind of wish we had more races. I don't want it to get to the level F1's at with like 25 a year. That's a little much.
Give us a couple extra though.
Yeah, I'd say a couple more, because we have like the first half of the season is like the races are like a month apart.
Yeah,
because you got St. Pete and then you got Thermal Club like 3 weeks later, and then you got 3 weeks later Alabama, and then it's like you're getting one a month maybe. I feel like you could fill in 2 or 3 more races in that section of the season and then like keep everything else the same, because I feel like July is pretty full. 3 of the 4 weeks you got races, and then August, 3 of the 4 weeks you have races. Keep the month of May the same, just all focus on the 500. I don't mind that at all. They need all the practices.
It's going to get even more coverage now because it's just Toronto for F1, or Montreal, the Canadian race.
Oh, yeah, that's
Montreal.
Right.
It's no longer Monaco.
Right. Which I did not like, but that wasn't IndyCar's fault. That was an F1 thing.
Yeah.
That was the case this year, right? Or is that starting next year?
Starting next year.
Okay.
I'll be very interested to see how that goes with having 2 races in the same time zone.
Yeah, not a fan of that. Not a fan of that at all. I think F1 will see what happens, because I think I already know what's going to happen, and I think they'll go back to the way it was before.
You think?
Yeah, I'm thinking. I don't think people care enough about the Canadian Grand Prix. I mean, the Indy 500 is like a worldwide event, I mean, in terms of its reach.
Yeah.
So, I'd be kind of surprised if the Canadian Grand Prix didn't take a huge ratings hit because of that. And then the championship fight, or lack thereof.
Yeah.
Alex Plow, there are rumors that he's going to go to Red Bull.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's going to happen, especially with how Hadjar's been doing.
Yeah.
It makes more sense to me for Red Bull to go with Hadjar for next season rather than take a punt on a guy who's never driven an F1 car.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think he tested the McLaren once.
Back with all the contracts nephews.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would go with Hadjar. Hadjar is clearly a very talented driver, way more so than Lawson. It's hard to tell where he compares to Tsunoda for obvious reasons. But I'm hoping that the Red Bull is better next year, or at least more drivable.
Yeah. Yeah. But on the IndyCar side, I think they also don't play up that championship fight quite as much.
Yeah. The championship fight is definitely less of a big deal.
They're focused on, you know, individual races. But I think that's one thing they might, I don't know if that's something that they need to do better, because I understand wanting to differentiate it from F1, but if they wanted to, I think in terms of like crafting a narrative that people could latch onto, especially newcomers, emphasizing more of a championship fight when they're able to, when Palou maybe isn't insane,
yeah,
would help a lot. because I wasn't really paying attention to the championship, to be honest. Not even second, third place.
Halfway through the season, I mean, once Palou won like 7 of the first 8 races, it's like, okay, well, this is, no one really cares anymore. It's more about the individual races at that point.
Yeah, or seeing where your individual favorite driver comes out.
Right.
Which for me was not great, but that's neither here nor there.
Poor man.
Yeah.
So,
overall, I actually really liked the season. I think it was more positives than negatives. Even considering the ownership change and all that. So I'm excited for next year to see when they have everything ironed out. Maybe they have a couple more races.
Yeah, I do think in terms of races, race-wise, I think last season was better. But I think in terms of health of the sport, I think this was a great season.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did a very good job. I think they'll continue to improve on things. Maybe when more viewership come, no, it's an American sport. They're not going to lower the ads. Thinking maybe they'll make more money with less ads, but that's not gonna happen. They'll just make more money with more ads.
Yeah, why would you make less money with the same?
Yeah. So anyway, that wraps up our IndyCar season. We will talk about IndyCar again at the very end and go through our full season predictions, which I'm sure were definitely accurate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because IndyCar predictions always are easy.
On to Formula One,
the Dutch Grand Prix at Zandvoort for the last time. Let's go through the top 10 in qualifying to give some context to the lovely people. On pole position was Oscar Piastri, followed by Lando Norris and Max Verstappen in third. Fourth and fifth were Hadjar and Russell. 6 through 10 were Leclerc, Hamilton, Lawson, Sainz, and Alonso. Moving into the race, Verstappen passed Norris into turn 1 for P2. Norris passed Verstappen back for P2 on lap 9, also into turn 1. Great pass around the outside. It was very impressive.
I'm so glad Verstappen started on softs just to get repassed.
Yeah, right.
What great strategy.
Hamilton crashed into the wall in turn 3 and caused a safety car, I think around lap 27. I believe that's correct.
Ish, yeah.
Somewhere in there. Lawson and Sainz hit each other on the restart, causing massive damage to both cars. Sainz, for some reason, received a 10-second penalty, even though it was very much a racing incident. On lap 53, Antonelli torpedoed Leclerc, taking him out of the race and causing a safety car. That was some... we'll talk about that for sure. On lap 65, Lando Norris's engine failed, causing him a DNF and another safety car. And then Piastri was able to cruise home for an easy win after that Lando DNF.
Lots of memes coming out of this one.
Oh, yes. Great memes. So, top 10 were Piastri, Verstappen, Hadjar on the podium, Russell, Albon, 6 through 10, Behrman, Stroll, Alonso, Tsunoda, and Ocon. 11 through 15, Colapinto, Lawson, Sainz, Hülkenberg, and Bortoleto. Running off the finishers were Antonelli and Gasly in 16th and 17th, and our three retirements were Norris, Leclerc, and Hamilton. So, first big talking point of this race, Lando's engine failure completely changes the championship. Now he is playing massive catch-up. There was a 2-point gap going into this race from Lando to Oscar. And now it is 34. Yes.
So we're talking like a Piastri DNF in order for him to catch up, essentially.
Or Lando has to win most of the rest of the season.
Yeah, so and Piastri
with
DNF.
With Piastri in second, yeah. So most likely a Piastri DNF. Who knows how likely that is. The McLarens have been fairly reliable this year up until now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the first time we've seen a mechanical failure for McLaren in a couple of years, I think. So,
Yeah, those Mercedes power units are pretty reliable.
Yeah, they weren't for Mercedes at the beginning of the year, but for McLaren, they've been great.
Yeah, the fastest Mercedes car out there.
Isaac Hadjar, with his first podium of his career, didn't even start the season with... Oh, wait, no, he did. Hadjar started, and then Lawson and Tsunoda switched. So, yeah, sorry. First podium, great stuff. Great race, great qualifying, great weekend overall. Hadjar continues to be very impressive for VCARB or RB or whatever they're called now.
I'm very excited to see him demoted to the main team.
Yeah, when he's going to do so well, he gets demoted to Red Bull. All the memes coming out about that have been also top tier. Kimi Antonelli absolutely punted Charles Leclerc. Complete rookie mistake on his part. Great memes for that one as well.
I can already see
revoking
that's the thumbnail
his Italian
right there.
Citizenship. Yeah. Everyone was talking about revoking Antonelli's Italian citizenship.
Charles Leclerc just gazing out over the sea.
Yeah.
Not even watching the race.
Those have been great, too. somehow got a cell phone. I think it was a steward's or a marshal's cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
That was great, just seeing him watch the race on a phone. There was a lot of kind of craziness in that race. Even though I would say that was a pretty boring race. There was some weird stuff.
It made it fun to watch, at least. It was boring, but fun.
Without all of that craziness, it definitely would not have been a great race.
It would
race.
Have been another classic Zandvoort race.
Yep. So Zandvoort is done every single race that we've had since it came back, and I believe 2021 or 2020, one of the two. I think it was 2021. Has been won from pole position, so that's not a great stat for that race.
Yep. This is just winning from pole position with extra steps.
Exactly. Yeah, very much Monaco-like. Ferrari continues to be in pain.
Ferrari double DNF.
They were not good this week. Obviously, double DNF, not what you want. But even after qualifying, you could tell they were struggling hard. Anyway, let's move into the standings. Piastri extends his lead from Norris. In second, Verstappen, 70 points behind Norris now. Still probably out of reach. Then Russell and Leclerc, fourth and fifth. 6 through 10 are Hamilton, Antonelli, Albon, Hülkenberg, and Hadjar. Lance Stroll is in 11th, right ahead of his teammate Fernando Alonso somehow.
Ouch.
13th through 15 are Ocon, Gasly, and Lawson. 16 through 21 are Behrman, Sainz, Bortoleto, Tsunoda, Colapinto, and Doohan. Tsunoda scrub points this week. Still in 19th place in the championship.
Behind Bortoleto, crucially.
Behind Bortoleto. The only person who's still driving actively that he's ahead of is Colapinto. So, that's rough, man.
That's pretty rough. Colapinto hasn't even had a... Well, I guess Tsunoda hasn't had a full season at his team either.
No, but... Yeah, that's still rough.
Yeah.
Your teammate's in third and you're in 19th.
Liam Lawson,
brutal.
20 points.
All right. And constructors, McLaren's still way out in front. They're probably not too far away from clinching the championship, probably 3 or 4 more races. Ferrari's in second, 12 points ahead of Mercedes. So that's still a very tight battle. Red Bull's back and forth, and they're probably going to keep dropping. Well, they won't drop to fifth, but they're not going to catch Mercedes at this point.
Williams is pulling clear of Aston Martin by now.
Yep, Williams is kind of solidified in fifth place. Aston Martin, Racing Bulls, Sauber, and Haas are probably going to battle for the sixth place spot, sixth through ninth at least.
And Alpine will be getting,
Alpine will
of
be getting last. Yep, most likely.
They get to spend all winter at the wind tunnel. They don't have to leave if they don't want to.
Nope, they can stay there the entire time. It was calculated. They're trying for the new regs to get as much wind tunnel time as possible. They're punting the last three seasons to
remember
really
when
maximize
we thought
that
Red Bull was doing that, and the car was actually just bad.
Yep. All right.
Oh, wait, we have paddock news, don't we?
Do we have paddock news? What did I miss, Ben?
Here's a Cadillac signing announcement.
Oh, that was so long ago. Even though it was like last week.
Yeah.
Yes, paddock news. The 11th team, Cadillac, has announced their two drivers for next season. It will be Valtteri Bottas and Sergio Perez. I think they made the right choice.
Yeah, I know it kind of sucks. My fellow Americans. I know it sucks not having an American in the car. We will get there. Colton Herta.
It wouldn't have been Colton Herta. However, well, I've heard rumors about him, too.
I was going to talk about the rumors, which I don't think is true, but would be insane if they were. That he would leave IndyCar for next season to go race in F2 because F2 gives more super license points, and that one of the two drivers who is currently assigned to Cadillac would be essentially a seat warmer until Colton Herta himself could get the F1 seat in 2027.
Watch him.
I love Colton
even...
Herta, but
dude, that is a risk right there.
Jesus.
That's a I mean, granted, he hasn't been able to get it done in IndyCar, and he probably, I think he really wants to go to F1.
I mean, he came in second in the championship last year.
Herta? No.
Didn't he?
No. I don't think so.
Who am I thinking?
I don't think it was Herta.
No, it wasn't Herta.
When did,
what was it?
Let's go. We'll run the receipts on this.
Run the receipt. Back to season three we go.
I'm just pulling it up. You can find all of this information on revhang.com. I think I already passed it. Yes. Oh my gosh, you're right.
Oh my.
Ben, you're so right.
It's my special skill.
I'm so sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, he came in second last year.
He might even have a super license with where he finished. Second, he came in seventh this year, I believe. Sixth.
Yeah. Ooh. He's 34 points delinquent, I think.
IndyCar, so he would have gotten 30. He would need 40. 36 the year before.
Yeah, so that's 34 that he needs.
Well, it's a three-year schedule. Oh, yeah, it's a
three-year schedule.
What did he get the year before?
Couldn't have gotten very high.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he was like 15th or something.
Yeah.
Season two. We're going to find this out.
Wow, way back. This is pre-video.
Way pre-video. Tenth. So is that... That's not that's enough, zero. Is it? That's one. That's
one.
So he has 35. He needs 5 points.
But that's going to fall off next season.
That will fall off next season, so he'll need six.
Yeah.
So he needs to come in eighth or better in F2 if he does switch over. Possible. Possible.
However, F2 is such a crapshoot.
I like his chances better staying in IndyCar, if I'm being honest. I do, too.
Yeah. There's a better chance of Andretti figuring their shit out, I think.
Yeah, well, he would need to come in sixth in IndyCar versus eighth in F2.
Yeah, they at least made strides on pit strategy, like huge strides between first half and second half of the season. And I think if they continue developing that, I think that could be the difference right there, honestly.
Or, Ben, or he could try to get seventh in F3.
That's
if he came in seventh in F3, he would qualify as well.
He could perform worse in F3 than in IndyCar and still...
Yep.
Wow.
And get more points.
Huh.
Or he could try to get top six in Formula E and get stuck there for the rest of his career.
I wouldn't even want that. That being said, Andretti does have a Formula E team, so.
Yep. World Endurance, if he comes top eight. Yeah, anyway, this is all
speculation. But the rumors that Colton Hurd is going to F2 to compete, I think, are very funny.
I kind of hope it happens. That would make me watch F2 like way more consistently, though.
It's like, that's my boy.
That's my boy. Herda Bros.
Herda Bros.
Herda Bros International.
We have a new favorite sport, Herda Bros.
Yeah.
We're now F2 watchers, F2 enjoyers.
This is the RevHang F2
podcast. We love sprint races.
Yeah. We're dropping IndyCar from this podcast and going straight to F2. All right. Pit Stop Championship.
Yeah. Pit Stops.
That's where we are.
Yep.
Ferrari.
I think that's all the paddock news.
Yeah, I think so. Charles Leclerc. Probably not, but. That's Cadillac also notably came out and announced that they rejected Christian Horner as their team principal.
Yeah, they're like, under no circumstances.
They're like, absolutely not.
Y'all are insane. You need to calm down.
I don't think there was anything else after that. I can't think of anything. No other contract signings. Russell still hasn't been signed yet to Mercedes. I think they're still holding on to the hope that Verstappen jumps over.
That's so funny.
All right, Pit Stop Championship. Yeah, I think that's it. Ferrari, Charles Leclerc, first place. It's a time of 2.1 seconds. Charles LePain. Second place was Lawson. Third was Bortoleto. Fourth was Russell. Fifth was Hadjar. 6 through 10 were Ains and L.A. Stroll, Sainz, Alonso, and Hulkenberg. Standings, Leclerc has taken the lead back from Hamilton. That's probably about it in terms of the big news. Moving into overtake of the week, Christian Rasmussen gets this vote from me for his overtake on Alex Palou in Milwaukee. If you saw the overtake, it was on an oval, so it didn't look as impressive as like a Grand Prix circuit would, but it was, I think...
Gutsy.
It was very much gutsy.
A very Are we allowed to say a classic Christian Rasmussen move at this point?
Maybe. Close. I think we're getting there, yeah.
Yeah, Kiffin Simpson also had a great pass on McLaughlin.
Yes.
Earlier, a six-lap long pass.
That was a fantastic battle in Nashville. That was very fun to watch.
It was like the, I think it's the scene from Resident Evil, one of the Resident Evil games, where it's the good guy and the bad guy are, like, running around each other with guns trying to shoot each other.
Yeah.
And they're missing, and they're just, like, running around.
For six laps, side by side.
Editor, can you find that and put that in?
No.
Oh, okay. Everybody's gonna think I'm crazy.
No, I think I get what you're saying. Maybe I can try to find it, but I don't want a copyright strike either, so... Granted, it is gameplay footage.
It is gameplay footage.
I might be fine.
Yeah.
We'll see.
What are we going to get copyright striked?
I don't know. That would require people to watch our videos.
Right.
No offense to you people watching. We appreciate you.
Yeah. Dozens of
you. Tell your friends. All right. Let's move on to our predictions.
Predictions.
Let's start with Portland in IndyCar. Pole position, Ben, what did you say?
I had Herta for this one.
I had Pelot, and it went to Lundgaard. Sort of a ward, but either way, we were both wrong.
Yeah, neither of us is close.
Podium was Power, Lundgaard, and Pelot. What did you say, Ben?
Oh, man, I had Pelot, Dixon, and Power.
I had Pelot, O'Ward, and Dixon. So
close. We both had Dixon, and he failed us.
Yeah, we had our free bingo space, though, with Pelot.
Yeah.
Winning number of pit stops, what'd you say, Ben?
I said three.
I said
two. Lucky number.
And it was three, so you got that one. Moving on to Milwaukee, pole position, we were not able to get our predictions in before qualifying.
Yeah, that was me being in New Jersey at the time, sorry. Yeah,
that was me
texting
Ben.
On a beach.
Texting Ben in a wild panic, like, the day of qualifying, like, hey, there's a race tomorrow, I totally forgot.
And me looking at my phone, oh shit, there's a race tomorrow.
Yeah.
On the beach.
So we didn't get pole position predictions in. It went to Pelot. Podium was Rasmussen, Pelot, and McLaughlin. What did you say, Ben?
I had Pelot, Malukas, and McLaughlin. What a tongue twister.
I had O'Ward, Dixon, and Pelot. So once again, both of us got Pelot.
Who could have predicted Rasmussen?
Right. That was wild. You 30 laps from the end of the race, who could have predicted Rasmussen? All right, winning number of pit stops was four. What did you say, Ben?
I said four.
I also said four, so we both got that one correct. Finally, for IndyCar, Nashville, pole position went to Pato O'Ward. What did you say?
I was hoping Connor Daly would pull something out.
I thought maybe Will Power would actually have a good end to the season. I was wrong.
He had Portland.
That was all he had this
year. Yeah, that was it.
Podium was Newgarden, Pelot, and McLaughlin. What did you say, Ben?
Pelot, McLaughlin. Pelot, Malukas, and Lundgaard.
Malukas is really messing me up today.
Really hurts.
I had Pelot, Kirkwood, and Rossi.
Ooh.
Winning number of pit stops was four. What'd you say?
I said four.
I said three. You got me again. I think the ovals were all four this year.
If street course, then three.
if oval, then four.
If not, four.
Yes.
Thank you, if then loop.
Yes. Love that. All right. That rounds off our predictions for this year for IndyCar. We're finally done, Ben. All the pain is over. No more free bingo spaces either this year.
Yeah. Well,
sort of.
A 50-50 bingo space.
50-50 bingo space, yeah, for F1. All right. Netherlands, Dutch Grand Prix, top five to remind everybody. We're Piastri, Verstappen, Hadjar, Russell, and Albon. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, Hamilton, and Russell with Albon as my dark horse.
And I had Norris, Piastri, Hamilton, Verstappen, and Russell with Hadjar as my dark horse. This might be the first time this has ever happened.
We've ever gotten our dark horses into the top five.
Both of us got our dark horse in the top five, and it was two different people.
And nothing else.
And nothing else. Yeah.
Everything completely wrong. But our dark horses were both on the money, which is crazy to me.
And different, which is wild. That means like two. Yeah, that's crazy.
Does that mean we're getting better or worse?
I don't
know.
That's
my question to you.
I don't know. I think Lando Norris' DNF just, like, threw a wrench in literally everything.
Yep.
All right.
For me, the Hamilton DNF also.
Also the Hamilton for me, yeah. Okay, fastest lap went to Oscar Piastri. What'd you say?
Lando Norris.
I said Max Verstappen. Driver of the day went to Isaac Hadjar. What'd you say?
I had Max Verstappen.
I also had Verstappen, and Hadjar absolutely deserved it.
Yep.
All right. Moving on to the upcoming Italian Grand Prix predictions. Monza, everybody's favorite straight line. Top five, Ben, what do you got?
I have Piastri, Norris, Russell, Verstappen, and Antonelli with a loss as my dark horse because it's funny compared to what you put your, for your dark horse.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. I have Norris, Piastri, Antonelli, Russell, and Verstappen with Sainz as my dark horse.
The most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Hey, it is, but we're going to roll with it. I just didn't want to say Albon again.
By the way, that's also going in the thumbnail.
What?
The science quote, the most ridiculous thing.
The most ridiculous
thing I figured it out already. Usually it takes a little bit of time for me to think about it, but it just came to me.
You've got your thumbnail down this week. Fastest lap, what do you got?
Piastri for this one.
I have Lando Norris, driver of the day. What do you got?
Antonelli?
I also have Antonelli.
Oh. Why did you put Antonelli?
Because I think he'll... Because I have him finishing on the podium.
I put him because...
And he's Italian.
He's the fastest Italian.
He's the only Italian.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So he's also the slowest Italian. But anyway, yes.
Well, he's faster than Ferrari, so I think that classifies him as the fastest. The fastest Italian, no matter what.
Yeah. He's just got to make sure he beats both of the RBs, too. They're also an Italian team.
Are they really, though?
They are.
They were Italian, like, three name changes ago. I don't know if they count as Italian anymore.
They're still Italian. I mean, they're based in Italy.
Haas is based in the U.S.
Haas is not based in the U.S., actually. But they're an American team. Their headquarters is in...
Is
UK.
This, is this helping my point or hurting
No,
it?
This is hurting my point.
Oh.
You're welcome. I don't... Anyway.
Anyways.
Anyway. We missed Toro Rosso. Bring them back, please. Or just stick with the same
Bring
name.
Bring back
for...
the shiny blue Red Bull can colored cars.
Yes. Can we stick with the same team name for 1 year?
Yes. But get rid of Keke Sauber.
Yes.
Which a whole controversy.
There will be.
Yeah.
They will be gone.
Did you hear about the whole controversy with Keke?
Oh, about the gambling laws and advertising, or
well,
is there
more? I was
going to
say the streamer who died on stream.
What? I did not hear about this.
It's not something you'd want to talk about on stream, but if you're morbidly curious about why another reason why Keke should not be allowed to be a sponsor in F1, look up Keke streamer death. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways,
it's Stake the one. It's this. The Stake is the gambling company, but
also bad.
Also bad. Audi can't come soon enough.
Yeah. Please let Audi actually still come in F1.
all right, Ben, it's time for your words of wisdom. What do you got for us this week?
Yeah, it's a nice little tidbit. Even if you live in an apartment or someplace like that, or you're not really doing a whole lot of work, it's always nice to have a pair of safety glasses and a nice set of work gloves in your vehicle just in case you have to work on your car while you're, you know, on the road. Excuse me. Okay, we're good. Fighting the hiccups back. Because, you know, eyes are very important. And if you ever open the engine of a car and, you know, you got, like, a leak or something like that, always good to have eye protection. And work gloves are just always nice. You have to put chains on in the winter. Throw those bad boys on if you have to work under your car. Sure, we all love having, you know, dirt under our fingernails and rough calloused hands, but sometimes it's also nice just to have a set of work gloves. So, some underrated gear to keep in your car.
Good stuff, Ben. Also, never buy a Mazda Speed 3 with more than 60,000 miles on it. Just a PSA.
Don't buy a turbocharged Mazda or Ford product from the years
2010 to 2020.
However, do buy Ben's Craigslist pick of the week.
Yeah, tell us about it. We should actually have this be a thing.
Honestly, Ben's Craigslist I'd be pick so of the into week. It. It's very cool. I'll bring it
I'm
up.
I'm adding this to the script so that when I copy paste this, it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because you send me at least two or three a week.
Mm-hmm. I gotta keep you on your toes.
This week's was actually a really good one.
It was absolutely so cool. Where did it go?
Such a great prize, too.
No, is it gone? Oh, it's still there.
Thank
goodness.
That was close.
It was actually updated 9 hours ago.
They dropped the price?
Actually, no.
Nope.
More backstory, though.
I love that.
It's a 2005 Ford Focus. Pretty normal. This is a ZX4. And let me tell you a little history about the ZX4. So it's different from the ZX5, which was obviously the four-door hatchback, and the ZX3, which is the three-door hatchback version that obviously came before this, obviously. This is the four-door sedan. This came after those because in 2005, Ford stopped making the ZTEC motor, which was kind of like a VTEC motor, where it had variable cam profiles, revved really high, it was pretty cool. And that's what the Ford SVT Focus used, was a ZTEC that made how much horsepower? Like 170-ish?
Don't ask
maybe
me.
Six-speed manual, really cool. Harder to find, much more expensive. The ZX4 ST is the full name. This used the first year of the Duratec 2.3 that was shared with Mazda, which, actually a pretty good engine, as long as you don't turbocharge it.
Yeah,
Funny Factory.
Key point there.
It makes a little less horsepower, like 150 horsepower, but it makes it over 1,000 RPM lower in the rev range because it's just a bigger motor. Comes with a 5-speed manual instead of the 6, which is fine. And a little softer suspension, better on the road, but much cheaper. Also harder to find because they're rarer, but very cool. I found one on Craigslist a couple hours away for $2,400. So if I don't get it, you should, because it's very cool. It's a great piece of automotive history. It'd make a great commuter car. It's fun to drive around. Make a great autocross car to start out with, because Focuses are, there's a lot of aftermarket. They've been around for forever. They share parts with Mazda 3s, so double the parts. Or like a cool like gravel rallycross car, because give a little soft suspension, and that'd be really cool. Only 130,000 miles.
Notably, the Ford Focus platform is dead now, though, I believe.
Not in Europe.
Not in Europe. Okay, never mind. They're still making parts.
And the it doesn't count for this car because it's too old to count. But the Ford Maverick Lobo, the street version of the Maverick that has, like, the, you know, hot rod upgrades, mm-hmm. actually shares a lot of parts with the European Ford Focus ST. It shares the differential, front axle differential, the 7-speed gearbox, and a lot of the engine tuning parts.
Nice.
Fun fact.
Clearly, this is a great conversation piece as well.
I think it's really interesting.
I think so, too. I just know nothing about it compared to Ben.
Which, yeah.
But Ben has a lot more, like, street car knowledge than I do.
It's my special interest.
Yes.
But, yeah, cool tidbit. But yeah, Ben's Craigslist find of the day, 2005 Ford Focus ZX4 ST. Cool little history lesson, cool little piece of automotive history.
Ben, I guarantee you, when I get my car close to getting paid off, the next car that I buy will be one of your Craigslist finds.
Please take me with you. It'd be so much fun.
I will, because well, you're going to make sure that it runs okay.
We could road trip across the country. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun, yes. I've had some interesting, crazy experiences trying to road trip a car back just from Washington. So
maybe just across the state. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the seaboard.
When I bought my RX-8 in Washington, the alternator blew up at exit 216 in Oregon.
Wow.
And yeah, that was a day.
Yeah.
That was a long day.
Plus, we could film it.
I also had to drive from my house to Kalispell, Montana the next day. And I had to keep shutting my car off on downhills on the freeway because it was overheating.
Awesome. Thank you, the RX-8. Very cool.
We love the RX-8. It was 90 degrees and overheating because rotary things.
We love Mazdas, by the way. It's just Nathan has bad experiences with buying the least reliable ones.
Well, listen. I knew what I was getting into with the RX-8. It's mm-hmm. just after about a year I was done. still my favorite car I've ever owned. I miss that car so much.
I mean, they make so much power and they look good.
And they're so light, and
yeah.
they handle so well. Oh my gosh, I loved that car. The transmission was like, it was so hard to stall it because it was a rotary. Mm-hmm. And so if you felt it stalling, you just floor it, and it's just like, oh, I'm back.
Yep. Yeah.
Great, great car if you don't like reliability. Mm-hmm. When it was working, fantastic. So
or if you live next to an oil depot.
Yes.
If you can fill it up with oil whenever you fill it up with gas, I'm sure it's good to go.
Yep. I did mix my premix the fuel, because that's what you're supposed to do in a rotary. Anyway, then I traded it in for a Mazda Speed 3, which is actually
usually... Wait, didn't you trade it in for a Honda Civic Si?
That was before the RX-8.
Oh. I thought you went from a Mazda Speed 3 to a Civic Si. No, you're telling me you went
One of my biggest mistakes in life was trading in my Civic Si for a 2004 Mazda RX-8. If I could go back and do life over again, I would still be driving the Si right now. But I was 20 and stupid.
I mean, hey, you're talking to a guy who spent over $5,000 on a project truck and sold it for $750 3 years later. So
there you go.
You and I are...
We've taken our hits, yeah.
Both in the red on project cars.
Yes. Yep, then I switched out for a Mazda Speed 3, which has been absolutely nothing but trouble, and my transmission is now currently failing. So that is something I'm dealing with in addition to knee surgery and, you know, money is tight right now. Wedding planning, you know.
Somebody please sponsor this man. Please. Sponsor us.
Please.
All the proceeds go to Nathan.
Yeah, if you're interested, I'll send you my GoFundMe link.
Yeah, he'll sign his Mazda and send it to whoever sponsors us.
Take it off my hands. You'll have to pay off the rest of it because I don't have the title. But, you know, if you've got 10 grand laying around, that would be awesome.
Don't we all?
Yeah, right. All right, anyway, with all of that rambling out of the way, that will do it for this episode. Everybody, thank you so much for watching and listening. If you enjoyed it, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. Really helps us out. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, except for IndyCar, which is now over, check out our website at revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials and comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, anywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in a week to talk about the Formula One Italian Grand Prix at Monza, not Imola, because that's already happened.
Yep.
But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.